We've got some grains that are under pressure from the rain talk, and maybe for some, it literally is the lack thereof. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. David Erickson is joining us today. He's with Ag Optimus out of Akron, Iowa. And one of the frustrations within this market, David, has got to be if you're getting rain or if you're not getting rain at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Susan, it's a little bit of a catch-22 here with when it comes to the rains. It's really spotty. I will say, you know, there are some areas that probably have a little more than what they need, and some areas that are sitting about right, and then other areas that we're supposed to get some rains later in the week here, and, you know, I've kind of missed out on those. And, you know, unfortunately, where I'm sitting in my chair, we're kind of in the latter of those three situations, and we were projected to get a decent amount of rain. And we haven't really seen much of that, but not too far to the north and a little bit to the east. They got plenty of rain, or, you know, they got a decent shot. And I know in talking with a lot of producers that I deal with here locally, they're starting to get concerned because they, you know, they might have put some crop in the ground into some dry dirt, and they're wondering how that's going to come up. But right now what matters is the market's perceiving that we're supposed to be getting rain across a lot of the Corn Belt here over the next week to 10 days. And, you know, we'll see if that comes to fruition. But, you know, I think what the market is kind of factoring in is that you know, we put this crop in the ground at a lot faster pace than normal. And if we get a little rain to get it going, we should have some big yield. And, you know, even though on Monday the USDA showed us that the balance sheets are starting to shrink a little bit on the corn, especially in soybeans, which is a little bit of a kind of a forgotten crop here over the last few years because everyone just perceived that we had too much of them and, you know, we were going to have plenty. But I think the USDA showed a pretty sizable reduction in the ending stocks there, and I think that's something that the market's starting to wake up to.
What about the Chinese trade deal as well that's been discussed in the marketplace and in the news?
Yeah, you know, over the weekend there was talks that we were going to come to an agreement with China, and what it ended up being was that we were going to kind of put a 90-day pause on the tariffs, or not a 90-day pause, but lower the tariffs for at least 90 days. So basically, the administration and the Chinese government could come back to the table and try and negotiate out a longer term deal. And, you know, the market really perceived that as a positive, especially the outside markets, and a lot of the ag markets are kind of thinking that's a really big deal for the soybeans overall. But when you kind of break down, it was kind of interesting because we got the WASDE report, or the latest projection out later that day or on Monday after that was announced. And one thing that I found really interesting is when you kind of break down the stocks that the Chinese have for both for the corn and the wheat and the soybeans, you know, that probably their smallest position is in the wheat right now. And not that they use a abundance of that, but they use plenty of it. And so I really think that, you know, a deal with the Chinese trade could come with the most benefit to the wheat overall. But the wheat market right now is kind of trading the crop tour that's going on. And there's a lot of analysts that are saying that we're going to have a, you know, much bigger crop than a year ago and much bigger than what people were expecting. So that is what the market is trading right now. On the wheat side of things, and you know, we'll see when the combines do start to roll if that's true or not.
Well, and the other side of it, as we look at this livestock trade, David, is the differentiation that's happening between the cash and the futures, and it's making for some interesting trade opportunities or even some trade concerns going on.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think when you look at what the, you know, if you look at the feeder market, what the feeders are bringing in the sale barn in comparison to what they are on the board of trade is, you know, they're two different worlds, and you're starting to see that more and more in on the live cattle side of things. Right now as we talk, June live cattle are trading at 212.42, and there's been trade as high as 229. So, you know, you're looking at a $17 positive basis, depending on where the average comes in and however you want to calculate that. So, and obviously there is a long time between now and the end of June. I will preface it with that, but a lot of people are thinking that the board is just way too cheap. And, you know, sometimes those really obvious trades, or those trades that just look too simple to be missed, are, they're the hardest ones to stomach for a while. So we'll see. It doesn't sound like the cash trade is going to back off at all, but we have seen some falters in the futures trade overall. So we'll see which one's going to win out.
All right, and we'll see what the cash does come next week. Thanks so much, David, for joining us today. That's David Erickson. He's with Ag Optimus out of Akron, Iowa. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's a look to the market wrap-up on a Friday on the American Ag Network.